since we're here, since I already have you standing. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 16 from the screen for you to see. For by him, who would that be? Okay, I'll make sure. For by him were all things created. And they want to make sure that you understood and understand where that is, where that creation is, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. I want to read that verse again because you can't get enough of the word of God. Can I get a witness? So we'll say it again. For by him, who's that? Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. He wants to let you know that all things that were created, you are a part of that. Whether it's visible or invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things, I want to make sure you understand, all things were created by him, and therefore they were created for him. And then in Jonah chapter 1, verse number 4, verse 1, all the way through 4. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that that ship was likely to be broken, or like to be broken. You may be seated. My title for tonight is this: Whatever It Takes. Whatever It Takes, My Purpose. It is the reason for which something is done. My man, just don't open it now. Where's Brother LJ at? Those of you who know, he got me. It is the reason for which something is done. It is the reason for which something exists. It is determination, motivation, ambition, and intention and aspiration. The goal, the target, the plan, the cause, and the point. Without it, we forget why we are, who we are, and what we are supposed to do. With it, we form a sense of expectation, a sense of connection, or a greater explanation to the world and everything we see, touch, taste, and hear. Without it, we become a fraction of who it was we were meant to be. As a matter of fact, without it, we lose our reason to exist, our reason for being, our reason to survive, our reason for living on to whatever's next. Because without this, sorry, I lost my place. Forgive me. Where are you at? Yeah, without this, whatever's next does not matter. If we fail to capture this two-syllable word that extends past ourselves, we fail not just ourselves, but we fail everything around us. It is vital that we have it, and we never leave home without it. And that is our purpose. Consider a hammer. It's designed to hit nails. That's what it was created to do. Notice a glass vase. It was designed to hold beautiful flowers. That was what the potter intended it for while it was on the potter's wheel. Think of a shelf. Its sole purpose is to hold books, magazines, toys, baskets, etc. At least that's the plan. A purse or handbag was created to contain, hold on, safety pins, bobby pins, hand sanitizer, mints, tissues, a mirror, a cell phone, a nail file, a nail clipper, a pen, keys, toothpicks, coupons, pepper spray, a second set of heels, money, and so much more. This is what it was created to do. When we examine these few items, we realize that if none of them get used to their purpose, if a hammer lays dormant in a toolbox or a vase collects dust instead of flower petals, if a shelf remains empty and a purse is never draped over her shoulder, none of them really care. They're not going to lose sleep over it. They won't lay awake wondering why they haven't been living out their purpose. Countless people in our world live aimlessly trying to satisfy a hunger and a fulfillment that can only be reached by living out the very purpose God intended for them. God created us for one purpose, and that is to worship, praise, and glorify Him. Sorry, it's not moving. There we go. It is in this glory that we will not share with anyone, and He will not share with anyone else. It was the writer of Proverbs who said, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is in the purpose of the Lord that will stand." This perhaps can define the reason why so many teens and young adults consumed with the social media age have determined that their purpose is weighed in the balance of how many likes they receive on Instagram. Maybe this is the dilemma the working adult faces when they conclude that their purpose is based on the number of zeros at the end of their paycheck, the square footage of their home, and make and model of their vehicle their family drives. I'm not a psychologist, but I would wager that the lack of purpose has an effect on the rising epidemic of depression, not just across America, but around the world. It is the human nature to find the meaning, the point of existing. Many of them grasping at straws, trying to search for the meaning of life when the search could be over. The overwhelming complications can be over, and the simplifying can begin. How many like simple? That our purpose, our direction, our guide is measured in the plan and design of a creator. Worship. It was what we were created to do. In every avenue of our lives, it is to bring God praise and glory. To oversimplify, it is to bring a smile to God's face. Paul explained and defined it this way in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And he would continue to say to the Colossians that whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is and what will always be what we were created and purposed for. The tree, it sways in the wind. The birds chirp in the morning. The lion roars. The gazelle gallops. And the whale gives a tone that's distinct from any other as they worship the one that created them. It's what they do. But more than that, it's who they are. And we're designed how they're designed to function. And as God made you from one cell of your mama and meeting with one cell from your daddy, each one carrying 23 chromosomes, the one from your mom was carrying half of her DNA, the one from your dad was carrying half of his DNA, and those two cells met and merged into one single cell. And when they did, those chromosomes matched, and when they did, they began to form together a brand new DNA code using four characters and four nucleotides, and they began to write out what is the 3 billion characteristic description of who you are, describing who God ordains you to be. We were blueprinted in the image of God. To drawing our first breath and crying as a baby to tears of joy and praise in this building, to showing the praises of him by our actions, who's brought us from darkness into his marvelous light, like show and tell, showing our God off everywhere we go. This is what we do. And that is who we are. To oversimplify, we are worship. And that is our purpose. However, there is an enemy of your soul. And Scripture, his purpose is very clear. His intentions for your soul are written without stutter. His purpose for your soul is to steal your joy, your peace, and your love. Steal your marriage and your kids and your relationship with God. He seeks to kill your spiritual life, kill your hopes and your dreams. His purpose, his overall plan, is simply to destroy your soul. That when it's all said and done and the trumpet sounds and eternity is calling, though he understands this battle is over for him, he would not mind destroying your soul and taking you with him. His purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. This plan and purpose was all too evident in the life of Jonah. The influence is too strong to think otherwise. Jonah, the preacher, the prophet, the man that God had chosen to be his mouthpiece for a city called Nineveh. According to God, Nineveh was wicked. It must have been a place of repeated lawbreakers, adulterers, murderers, liars, and thieves. Fornicators, idol worshippers, soothsayers, an overwhelming perversion for God to call Jonah to preach to that city. We have no other indication that God gave him any other direction, any other plan, any other guide. It simply was to go to Nineveh and preach. This was Jonah's specific purpose, his specific calling to be fulfilled. What an opportunity to be called upon by God and given a specific place, a specific time, and a specific people. Wouldn't that be nice if God could lay out on a silver platter and reveal to you the exact place and time of what you were called to do in something as short of a verse? If you notice, Jonah didn't have to go searching for his purpose. He didn't have to. According to Scripture, it was the word of God that came to Jonah. I mean, understand that the God of all creation, of all time, and of all space, and of all eternity came to visit Jonah. And he gave Jonah his purpose. He gave Jonah his plan. He gave Jonah his design. The thing that most people in this room would die to have a chance to experience, that God would give him specific directions. I'm not talking about an impression that you get when you come up from the altar or that you feel like God maybe spoke to me. I'm not talking about hearing the still small voice of God. No, Jonah had God speak to him and give him a play-by-play set of instructions of what his immediate purpose was. Verse 1 goes like this. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah, knowing his purpose, knowing the voice of God, he rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I guess I can only speak for myself, but I may get a few amens, I may not. But it's a dangerous place to be outside of the presence of the Lord. Let me take it a step further. It's a dangerous place to be outside of the will of God. Let me take it a step further. It's a dangerous place for an individual to consciously in their mind decide to disregard their purpose. That is, by definition, your reason for existence. Because once God gives you purpose, that's your reason for existing. Do you have no other reason for existing besides that? Once God gives you purpose, that's the reason why you exist. You don't exist outside of anything that God has purposed you for. When you decide to go outside of that, hear me, when you decide to go outside of that, that's when things become confusing. The Bible continues, because Jonah went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it. It's sad, but people will pay a high price to leave behind God's purpose in their life and not even think twice about it. They will try different methods. They will pay for certain drugs. They will travel the world. They will deliberately move in the opposite direction instead of following the will of God, who's already paid the price for their purpose. Jonah had made up in his mind. I'm sure it took planning and precision to find a ship. He had to go down to Joppa to find the right ship going in the exact opposite direction. If you look at a map, you can tell he was deliberately trying to go the opposite direction. Not northeast, he was going west. Out of here. It was a convenient way out. But just as convenient as it was to find a ship to go to Tarshish, it was even more convenient to go to Nineveh. For the distance from Joppa to Nineveh paled in comparison to how far Tarshish was to Nineveh. He wanted to be as far away from the purpose of God, which by definition the Word of God lets us know, that that included being as far away from the presence of God. But the Word of God is clear that there is neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There was no place that Jonah could go. There was no place that Jonah could hide that can separate him from God's love. For we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his. And God still had a plan for Jonah. God still had a purpose for Jonah. When we read on in the story, you can't help but recognize the phrasing of the next verse. After Jonah makes his move, but Jonah goes in the opposite direction, it's not very long until God makes his. I'm again reading from Jonah 1:3. It says, could you put that up for me, Kiana? Jonah 1:3. And then we're going to go to 4, so let you know. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4, but the Lord. You see, no one would understand this when the world was wicked and full of sin. God inches close, maybe even moments close, to wiping off everybody from the face of the earth. But the Bible lets us know, but God remembered Noah and gave him and his family purpose. Joseph the dreamer said it this way, you intended it for harm for me, but God intended it for good to accomplish my purpose. Jesus echoed the same phrase when he told his disciples, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Paul, understanding the weight of Jesus' decision of taking a chance on us, reminds us in Romans, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone even dare to die. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. No matter how far we are apart from him, no matter how much energy you will expend to remove yourself from him, he'll never stop reaching for you. He'll do whatever it takes to guide you. He'll do whatever it takes to lead you. He'll do whatever it takes to save you and align you to the purpose for which you were created for. And so it is with Jonah. Verse 4 again, but the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, that there was a tempest in the sea, so that the ship was likely to be broken. It was God who commanded the wind to move and the waves to climb over the ship. The storm was violent enough to break the ship. Fear gripped every deckhand, every shipmate and captain aboard. A cry broke out from every man to their God, screaming above the pouring sounds of the waves to be delivered from the storm. Sacrifices were made as they began to heave their personal belongings off the boat. The boat was sinking. It was God who was doing whatever it took to guide Jonah in the right direction. yet with an IMAX surround sound and HD motion picture of God trying to wave Jonah down, get Jonah's attention.